Australian True Crime, the nation's leading independent true crime podcast, is hitting the road with our live show. We're coming to Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane this July, and tickets will be available starting May 10th at 9:30 a.m. sharp. They sold out in 2 hours last time, so do not dilly-dally. We know the suburbs of Australia are teeming with some of the most intriguing and chilling true crime stories the world has ever heard. Don't miss the chance to dive deeper and get involved with a live Q&A. With over 1.5 million downloads monthly, these tickets will sell out. So keep an eye on our social media pages and check the podcast bio for direct links to purchase yours as soon as they're released on Friday, May 10. I can't wait to see you there.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This is a true crime podcast, as the title suggests, so please consider this your warning that it's not suitable for children, and it probably will contain content that may be triggering to some people. Also, it's an Australian true crime podcast, so Australian Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander listeners should be aware it may contain the voices of deceased people.
The producers of this podcast recognise the traditional owners of the land on which it's recorded. They pay respect to the Aboriginal elders past, present and those emerging.
We are joined again by the host of one of my favourite podcasts, Forgotten Australia, Michael Adams. This time he brings us a truly heartbreaking case from Melbourne's Gold Rush heyday. As I record this, there are 65 jurisdictions around the world in which consensual gay sex is illegal, and 12 countries in which it's punishable by death. You can find more information about that at humandignitytrust.org. Although Australia is considered a youthful, progressive nation, we didn't begin decriminalising homosexual acts until 1975. First in South Australia, and finally in Tasmania, in 1997. In today's Australian true crime, we're travelling back to the 1870s, when Melbourne was blossoming, shaking off her convict roots and making her mark on the world stage as a prosperous European-inspired capital. She could still be pretty inhospitable, though, for anyone who didn't fit the mould.
Homosexuality was not an offence itself. If you were homosexual and did nothing about it, you were fine. Homosexual acts were a capital offence. You could be hanged, and that was still on the books. But it was also, this is the thing, there were very few prosecutions and very few trials and very few convictions, simply because the actual terror of exposure, shame, all of it was so great that basically what they were saying was, if you're homosexual, keep it in the shadows.
Edward Feeney and Charles Marx, who were these fellows? How did they meet? Who were they?
Edward Feeney was born in Dublin in 1834, and they were middle class. So Ned got a bit of a pretty good education. His dad was a radical baker as well. So he was supporting Dan O'Connell, the activist protester who was trying to shrug off British rule. They were trying to shrug off the British rule, but then they had bigger things to worry about because the potato famine hit. It was a terrible time for the Irish, and the country was forever changed by it. And then in 1858, he left Ireland to join the 18th Royal Regiment. Now, the 18th Royal Regiment were legendary. They were part of the British Army, obviously formed by, you know, recruits from Ireland. They'd fought in the American War of Independence, the Opium Wars, the Crimean War, the Second Anglo-Afghan War, all those things we vaguely remember from history class. The 18th Royal Irish were there. In 1863, they had a new war. This was in New Zealand, and it was against the Maori. Ned arrived in July of 1863 and pretty much stepped into the first bloodbath. It was the great battle called on the Great Southern Roads outside Auckland. 5 Royal Irish were killed that day, 11 were wounded. It sounds like a small skirmish by modern standards, but this is a really big deal. And the guys who died were hacked to pieces.
Oh, I was going to say, it doesn't sound soft or small or anything like that to me. And you're building a picture of a tough dude. Ned Feeney is a tough cat.
Well, I'm not sure how tough he is. He's certainly gone through 7 years of famine, and now he's about to go through 7 years of war. By 1870, the Royal Irish were being recalled. So he was going to be discharged. So he moved down to Melbourne around August of 1870. Now, he's had the trauma of the famine. He's had the trauma of the war. He's 36 years old. He served in the Royal Irish, who are considered to be absolute heroes. So he's got good character references. He gets a job at Melbourne Hospital as a wardsman. I mean, you know, he was supposedly very good at his job, very polite, etc. This is trauma. He's seeing dead people, dying people, suffering people pretty much every day. He's also living in a colony now, and Ned is a homosexual man. So that is, I think, this constant background pressure that at any moment, you know, well, you either can't live your life the way you want to, or if you do, you risk being tortured and possibly killed. In February of 1871, there was a new assistant wardsman at Melbourne Hospital. Now, his name was Charlie Marks. He was about 25 or 26. All we know about him, I couldn't find anything much more about him. He had been at sea. We do know from photographs at the time was that he was a very handsome dude. So these two became inseparable. They both lived in the quarters in the Melbourne Hospital. Both of them had no family on this side of the world, and they had few other friends. So they worked together. They had quarters in the same area of the Melbourne Hospital. And when they weren't working, they spent all of their time together. They used to go to Abe Risco's wine bar. And Ned and Charlie were pretty quiet customers. They'd go in there, they'd have a few wines, they'd talk to each other, they'd talk to Abe and his wife, and then they would get back to the hospital before the 10 p.m. curfew. Things went bad by February of 1872. They were both depressed, melancholy. I think it was probably because they had this relationship that they had to keep secret. In any event, Charlie resigned from the hospital and got a job on a ship called the Edina, which would go from Melbourne to Warrnambool and back, take passengers, and that return journey would take about 3 days. So he was going to be a steward. He'd live on board, and when he wasn't voyaging, he'd be back in Melbourne and he'd be able to see Ned. But they weren't going to be living together. They weren't going to be working together. 2 days after Charlie took this job, Ned tried to kill himself in Melbourne Hospital with chloroform. Charlie came back to meet Ned at the wine bar, and Ned wasn't there. And he said to Abraham, the owner, I think he's probably gone to go and kill himself. I'm going to go and try and find him. If I don't come back, that means I've killed myself too. Charlie was saying, he had said in letters, if you kill yourself, I won't be long for this world either. So please don't. Let's try and work something out. He wanted Ned to come and work with him on the ship. Ned said, I can't. The hospital's been so good to me since my incident, which, you know, the hospital actually took Charlie's word that his chloroform overdose had been accidental. It clearly hadn't been, and they said so later. The thing was, of course, he was still living in the hospital, so for all intents and purposes, they could keep him under observation. They did keep him under observation, and he was deteriorating. He'd been a relatively sober sort of chap. Now he was drinking a lot, to the point where at the end of February, they had to sack him. So at the end of February, Ned, who's, you know, had this great character reference having been in the Royal Irish and so forth, is out of a job. He's also out of a home. Charlie comes back from the Edina. They stay in a hotel room together. Charlie's due back on the ship on Tuesday, and he doesn't turn up. So he has also now lost his job and also will have a bad character reference. So they've really, they've kind of crossed a line at this point. The night before, they were in Abraham's wine bar, and Charlie said, "I wonder what time the Treasury Gardens closes." And he said, "Oh, I have an appointment there." And he said, "Well, I think it closes at about 8, so it's probably closed by now." And Ned said, "Who do you have an appointment with?" And he said, "Well, I have an appointment there with you."
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The next day, they went to William Davies' photographic studio in town. They came in. They'd been drinking a little. They weren't drunk, but they were, you know, affected by alcohol. It was obvious. And they asked to have photos made. They wanted to pose with pistols. They had two horse pistols, which are big guns. And the photographer was kind of like, "Oh, okay. Like bushrangers. So why don't you, take off your tie, take off your jacket, stand there, you know, typically a shot like that, they'd be pointing their guns towards the camera." They stood facing one another with the guns pointed at each other's hearts, resting at each other's hearts. After that, they had another photograph taken where they were holding hands and staring at each other's eyes. Now, these are astounding photographs. They paid for them and said they'd be back to, well, they put down a deposit and said they'd be back to pick them up in a few days. They knew they were never coming back to collect those photographs. Those photographs weren't for them. They were for us. They were testimony about what they intended to do. They went to Abe's wine bar after this directly. They got some paper. They went into the back room and they started to write letters. Then they said their goodbyes and Ned said, "I'll see you soon," to Abe. And Charlie said, "No, you won't." And they left. Abe and his wife then went into the back room and found the letters they'd left. Charlie had written a letter to his mother, which was a suicide letter, saying, "We're both about to be dead. Anything that you're going to leave to me, give to my sister. Goodbye." Abe ran out into the street, saw a cop and said, "There's two men going to the Treasury Gardens. I think they're about to do something terrible." Bang, a shot rings out from the top end of town and they go into the gardens and they find Ned Feeney smoking a cigar, Charlie lying dead. So what had happened was the men had pointed their guns at each other. They'd overstuffed them with powder. I guess it was the count of three. Charlie didn't fire, couldn't fire. Ned did. His gun exploded in his hand, killed Charlie, but also a piece of the gun flew back, pierced his own coat, and was found in his coat. Charlie was dead. Ned was taken into custody, put into Melbourne jail. He was going to stand trial for murder. Now, despite Ned having said in the immediate aftermath, all will be explained. He didn't say a goddamn word. Nothing. To nobody. So the jury was to deliberate for all of 15 minutes, and they found that Ned Feeney was guilty of murder. Now, this was an automatic death sentence, and the judge said that he would not recommend mercy. The jury didn't recommend mercy. The judge also said, before he actually sentenced him to death, that you were a coward. What you should have done was you should have picked up the pistol that Charlie had dropped and you should have blown your brains out. Now, this was a judge of the Supreme Court telling a man he was about to sentence to death that he should have committed the crime of suicide. This actually came in for a lot of criticism. It was like, this is beyond the pale for a judge to say this from the bench. You might think it, but you shouldn't say it. The judge wouldn't back down. He wouldn't apologize. In the capital case file, he reiterated he faced absolutely no censure for this. Ned did not say a word. Sentenced to death, he didn't even react. He remained absolutely passive the whole way through. Now, I think he did this because it was the last vestige of dignity he had. If he actually tried to defend himself, if he admitted anything, it would only increase his shame and it would do no good whatsoever. So I really admire the fact that he didn't say anything. Now, as the execution date approached, it was the 14th of May, 1872, a letter arrived for Ned, and it was from his mum in Ireland. Now, because of the times involved in letters getting to and from Melbourne and Dublin, she had no idea that any of this had happened. So she was just writing to her son. He got the letter in jail, and he now said, because he'd previously said he didn't even need a pen and paper, he now said he wanted a pen and paper, and he wrote a letter back to his mother, the contents of which he asked to be kept private, and they were. And then he said to Castillo, I need to tell you that what they've said about me and Charlie is not true. Charlie and I were not involved. He was pestering me. I was trying to get away from him. I am heterosexual, not homosexual. I want you to tell the press. And Castillo did. So what I think happened here was the letter from his mother had kind of reminded him that eventually Ma is going to find all of this out.
Yes.
It's going to make the papers back home.
Catholic Ma back in Ireland.
Yeah, at least I can put it on the record, give her something to hang on to, that I might have been a murderer, but I wasn't gay.
Oh, God.
The thing was as well that this was the only thing he said. He didn't say anything. He didn't deny anything else. He didn't say he hadn't shot Charlie, anything. He was more concerned with not being thought of as being homosexual than being thought of as a murderer. So on the 14th of May in Old Melbourne Jail, Ned went to the gallows. He was tended to by William Bamford. William Bamford was the one-eyed drunken hangman who'd been in the job for 15 years. And as usual, he made a mess of it. Ned struggled for about 3 minutes before he was still. Then Dr. Barker, once Ned was cut down, and this is strong stuff, so listeners be advised, took the body to be autopsied. Castillo said that Barker and his medical students, quote, reveled in the luxury of a fresh and healthy corpse. What they really wanted to do was check out the rectum. They wanted to see if it showed signs of homosexual activity. And yes, Dr. Barker concluded that it did. There were signs of a, quote, vicious indulgence. Now, modern medical science says this is absolutely junk. This is proves nothing either way. An incredibly tragic story. And I think, it does remind us of, why laws that discriminate and persecute people for nothing have to be resisted at every point.
Fantastic. Forgotten Australia. Not forgotten by you, mate.
Bless you. Not forgotten by you either. Thank you, Michelle. I really appreciate it.
Thank you to our guest, Michael Adams from Forgotten Australia. And if you'd like to know more about Ned Feeney and Charlie Marks, you can head over to Forgotten Australia, where there's a four-part series all about them. If you need support after listening to this podcast, you can call Lifeline on 13 11 14. Or contact 1-800-RESPECT on 1-800-737-732 or 1800respect.org.au. Indigenous Australians can contact 13 Yarn on 13 92 76 or 13yarn.org.au. Thank you for downloading this episode of Australian True Crime. We'll be back next week.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Australian True Crime, the nation's leading independent true crime podcast, is hitting the road with our live show. We're coming to Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane this July, and tickets will be available starting May 10th at 9:30 a.m. sharp. They sold out in 2 hours last time, so do not dilly-dally. We know the suburbs of Australia are teeming with some of the most intriguing and chilling true crime stories the world has ever heard. Don't miss the chance to dive deeper and get involved with a live Q&A. With over 1.5 million downloads monthly, these tickets will sell out. So keep an eye on our social media pages and check the podcast bio for direct links to purchase yours as soon as they're released on Friday, May 10. I can't wait to see you there.